I'm Dr. Jayashree Chander, specializing in occupational and environmental medicine, board certified in family and community medicine, and creator of Naging Now, a podcast about prioritizing well-being, which can be found on the web at nagingnow.org, NEIJINGNOW.ORG. I spoke with Ms. Kathleen Mullen in Toronto through an internet-mediated phone call on the 2nd of August 2011 about her film called Breathtaking, which is about her father's journey with an asbestos-related cancer called mesothelioma and the global implication of Canada's asbestos mining and export industry. Breathtaking recently screened at Laborfest in San Francisco in July.
Kathleen, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Yes, you as well.
You're the maker of a very beautiful film called Breathtaking. Why don't you tell us what it's about?
Thank you very much. My tagline is that it's a personal investigation into the present-day use of asbestos, which means that it's about my father who died of an asbestos-related disease called mesothelioma. So it's about him and my family and our struggle to come to terms with it, but it also expands it out to a more global picture to look at how Canada continues to mine asbestos and how it is used worldwide.
Well, you did a fantastic job. It was one of tribute not only to your father, but to anyone who suffered the consequences of exposure to asbestos anywhere in the world. You did a beautiful job of connecting a white middle-class worker to the poor and desperate brown worker in the southern world. I want to commend you for that.
I mean, I wanted to sort of show that there's this global picture, that it's my dad in British Columbia and it's someone else in India, and, you know, all of these families are affected. I mean, we live different lives, we're in different cultures, but that asbestos can get anybody.
Yeah, the asbestos fiber really doesn't care who you are. It just, you inhale it and it does its job.
Yes.
You made some beautiful footage. I shouldn't say beautiful because it was actually heart-rending to see this huge open pit mine in Quebec, which basically made the point that Canada continues to mine asbestos and export asbestos.
I mean, there's like 3% that we may still use, but the majority of it, 98%, actually gets shipped to other countries. And the Canadian government is still in support of this mining.
And in fact, the Canadian government not only is in support of the mining, but they're actually blocking any international efforts to ban the use of asbestos.
Yes, they are. And recently in the Rotterdam Convention, they fought and succeeded in having basically asbestos was not added to the list of hazardous materials.
The Rotterdam Convention, for anybody who doesn't know, is the list of chemicals that countries need to be informed of their toxicity prior to importing that chemical into their company. So asbestos has not made it on the list as of yet.
Yes, which I think is quite shocking in this day and age with all the knowledge that we have about the dangers of asbestos and why countries like the USA and Canada and the European Union don't use it anymore for the most part.
There's no official ban on asbestos in the U.S. The ban is that you cannot have any new uses for asbestos in new products, but you can continue to use it in products that have traditionally used asbestos.
Mm-hmm.
A weird kind of ban.
Yeah, but there's a lot of arguments right now in the USA and a lot of, you know, people trying to change that.
There's a lot of activism, but I don't know how far we're getting in it.
We have editorials and people writing in about asbestos in all our papers. The CBC, which is our national radio and television program, you know, there's a lot of, you know, movement against it, but the Canadian government is still supporting it. So,
well, the asbestos industry is very strong.
Yeah.
And they are influencing not only the Canadian government, but the Brazilian government, the WHO, the ILO. I mean, it was only in 2006 that WHO and ILO finally issued a statement in support of banning asbestos. That's very late in the game, given that it's been at least since the 1960s that we know how lethal asbestos is.
Yeah, exactly.
you know, it was significant that you went to India because India is a booming economy. If Brazil is also not only a huge producer, but also a huge consumer of asbestos.
Yeah.
Why did you choose to go to India for your film?
You know, Canada and India, they have a lot of ties in terms of the economy, and that interested me. And then I just felt that there was this direct link between Canada and India, and I was interested in looking at the situation there. And my great-grandfather had lived in India in the British Army, but that was sort of one of the, I mean, there were many places because, you know, we ship it to the Philippines, China, but I just felt like I had to choose a country, and so I had made connections there, but also I had that, I did have a personal connection as well.
Can you describe for people who haven't seen your film what you saw in India?
Well, I just saw a lot of people trying to grassroots organize, particularly workers who were being affected by asbestos, who were sick, who were trying to advocate for compensation, for sort of recognition that they were in danger and their families were in danger. There were activists who were trying to make it into the papers and have the discussion of sort of the safety of workers. I saw, you know, people who, you know, a young woman who was younger than me, but who had lost her father to mesothelioma. So I just saw a lot of people trying to talk about it and trying to get some change happening.
The trouble in India is, once again, the government is really not taking a stand. They don't recognize mesothelioma as an occupational disease. They actually give tax cuts to asbestos producers, and there's no, you know, mesothelioma registry or cancer registry.
Yeah.
In fact, asbestos use in India seems to be growing by nearly 10% every year, just with the economic boom. People are building and
they're encouraging the use of asbestos tiles for roofing because it's cheaper. So actually, asbestos is going into the roofing.
Right.
And that's a huge encouragement from the government as well. And
right. It's really quite remarkable.
Well, when it's supported by the government, the bringing it in and the link to Canada and other countries, you can fight against it. But if the government is supporting it, it's really difficult to change it.
I mean, the government liability for supporting this is actually quite bigger than they imagine. The industries pass off or avoid their liability by either declaring bankruptcy or denying that it was their work setting that caused the asbestos exposure, that the disease was caused by asbestos exposure from another setting. There's all these ways to abscond, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the United States, there's 100,000 deaths per year due to asbestos.
Well, I have to say, I would totally believe it. I mean, I always knew that it wasn't just my family because you know, my dad talked about it before he died. But it was really remarkable for me to see, actually really see how huge it is, the problem.
Well, what's impressive with you is that you took your personal story and you channeled that shock and grief of watching your father suffer a totally preventable illness and having your family experience the grief of his loss. And you took all of that energy and turned it into something that really is an instrument for advocacy, for change.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, he did this deposition, which is in the film, some of it, clips from it, you know, kind of this legal testimony to talk about his experience. Then when he died, it was sort of like I had this footage, I make films, and I thought, well, how can I carry on what he was trying to do? Because he wasn't an advocate type person, but at the same time, he did this when he was his most sick because he knew, you know, other workers and other people he had worked with that had the same disease. And it so strongly affected him in the last couple of years of his life. I guess in a way, I felt like I had a responsibility. I could take those tools that I knew how to use and keep on trying to talk about it.
Well, it was very well done.
Thank you very much.
For those people who hadn't seen the film, could you explain what the deposition was about that your father was giving?
Yes, he was giving a legal testimony about the companies that he had worked for, So various engineering companies. You know, he worked in Alberta in the tar sands. He worked in San Francisco, actually. He worked in Puerto Rico. He worked in Aruba at the Lago refinery. He worked at various engineering companies. So he basically did a legal testimony against, you know, the various companies that he had worked for. There were small settlements, but it was really more about holding the various companies accountable so that they, you know, will sort of think twice about putting their workers in danger. And that was really important to him.
And so did he get compensation from each of the companies that he worked with?
Well, a lot of them have gone out of business because of asbestos-related, you know, they've declared bankruptcy. So, but he did get them from some. But one of the companies, Bechtel, that he worked for didn't, I don't believe, has given any compensation. And he worked there for 35 years.
Mm. They didn't admit to any responsibility?
No, not as of yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so is it still in process?
I think it's pretty much over.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this maneuver of declaring bankruptcy is actually a very common strategy for mm-hmm. the asbestos companies.
Yeah.
Well, I do hope your film gets seen widely and that it is appreciated and it has an impact, because it's actually a very well done film, and I really want to congratulate you again. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
Thank you. I really appreciate sort of, I wanted it to start getting into the United States to talk about it there. You know, it's really about starting the discussion and trying to make change.
Great.
And, you know, and also, you know, it's my story, or how I interpret my family's story.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. It's very personal and very relevant to a lot of people.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
That was Kathleen Mullen, director of the film Breathtaking, speaking with us from Toronto. I'm Dr. Jayashree Chander, creator of Naging Now, Prioritizing Well-Being, on the web at nagingnow.org, NEIJINGNOW.ORG.